Hi everyone, I'm Kate Warwicker and welcome to EUTV's podcast, Welcome to My World, where we invite one of our friends or acquaintances to tell us about one of their favourite pieces of media, whether that's a film or a TV series or maybe some music, and they get to tell us all about it and then we go try it out and see if we like it too. I'm here with Chloe. Hi Chloe.
Hiya.
What are you going to be talking to me about today?
I'm here to talk to you about documentaries today. It's considered more of a boring topic, but I'm here to tell you it's not.
Okay, I'm ready to hear it. Yeah, I don't regularly watch documentaries at all. I feel like the only documentaries I've watched are like when I'm scrolling through BBC iPlayer and I like happen to cross one. But yeah, I definitely don't go looking for them.
Yeah. Well, we're a year on from Tiger King. I'm here to tell you about some that are interesting and a bit more exciting.
I never caught the Tiger King wave.
Did you not?
Got on that. No, you just see it like, I don't know, I think I was got all the memes and then it seemed like it kind of passed by the time I had any idea what was going on, and I was like, I'm not going to play catch up with that one.
That's fair. So I've got four to talk about. They're all very different styles and I've gone for them all been done by different providers. So the first one I'm going to talk to you about is Dogs on Netflix. The premise of this is each episode follows a different dog in an interesting place around the world, and it's been done by the same people that do We Rate Dogs on Instagram and Twitter. And so you get to see all these dogs in really beautiful places. Like one of them's in Lake Como. One, they're trying to get the dog out of Syria to the owner that's in Germany now. And it's very wholesome. Another one. So you're our very own documentary presenter at EUTV, Kate. You're our very own.
Yeah, I am Stacey Dooley, definitely trying to embody her when we go out.
So I had to put a Stacey Dooley one on my list as well. So for that, I've gone for Canada's Lost Girls, which is an investigation, isn't part of Stacey Dooley's Investigate series. And so they're one-off episodes around 50 minutes long, and each time she's investigating a different place and you get to learn about a new thing you might not necessarily know about. The next one I've got for you is On All Four, and that's a documentary about Caroline Flack's life. So I watched this over the weekend and I really enjoyed it. And it's a lot about the media backlash that she had and kind of what led her to take her own life.
Yeah, I've been really interested in that one.
Yeah, it's really sad, I'm not going to lie, but it kind of follows her life all the way through, and has a lot of, like, her family are on there. Ollie Mears is on the documentary as well, Dermot O'Leary, just to kind of talk over how all these things played out. And then the final one I've got for you is a Vox Explained one, which is more of like an infographic style documentary. And that's all about athleisure and how athletic wear has changed over the years.
Okay, well, that sounds like a great varied bunch. I'm really interested. I was saying that before we came on the call, I was saying, oh yeah, I might just watch two of them, but I'm kind of interested in all of them. So that might be my weekend.
They all appeal in very different ways, I think. So if you want something more lighthearted, the Vox ones are only like 10 to 20 minutes. So they're pretty easy to watch, and they have them on like a whole range of different topics. The dogs one is very wholesome when you're stressed about essay work, so I think I'm going to watch this while I'm doing my final assignments over the next week. And then the other two are kind of like more intense, but the Stacey Dooley one in particular is like, I would say, more of a traditional documentary, because you're following someone around a different place and it's very much like getting a feel for a community you're not at, but you feel like you understand it a bit when you come away from the documentary, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I have watched a couple of hers quite a long time ago now. I can't remember exactly what they're about, but like you say, she's definitely a bit more like traditional style documentary, and you do, like, she seems to go really in depth for like the place she's in, you know, you do get like a sense of the whole community, not just like whoever she's gone to talk to, like, specifically.
Yeah, and she narrates them in a really good way as well, kind of in a similar way to Louis Theroux. Actually, we have to give Louis Theroux a shout out as well, because
I think it's really bad that I don't even know who people are talking about when they talk about Louis Theroux.
Oh, I'm gonna find a Louis Theroux one for you to watch as well then.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna send you the ones that are about the Westboro Baptist Church. You'll find them really interesting. Because he's got quite a few of them, because he keeps going back to do more documentaries with them. So I'll send you one one of them as well. Okay, amazing.
Okay. That's great. Okay, so next step is I'm going to go and watch them all, and we're going to come back once I've watched them and discuss and see how I found them.
Yeah, I really hope you like them.
Okay, so we're back. It's part two. I have watched some documentaries, and now we can chat about them.
So exciting. So how did you get on?
I think I'm okay. So the first one I watched, like, kind of just after our call, is I watched the Caroline Flack one. I thought it was amazing. It was very emotional. I cried. I was sat in my uni room and I was just bawling. I was like, okay.
It's a really sad one to, like.
Yeah, I think it was really well done. And I think, like, it obviously, like, it really hit home as well, just because obviously all the stuff that she did in her life was kind of like stuff that, like, I would like to do, and like the stuff that obviously working in the TV society, it's like a lot of our goals and stuff. So to see her do it all and then obviously hear about her story and stuff, I was like, I was holding it together, and then it got to the end and obviously everyone else starts crying and I was like, okay.
Yeah, I think the bit that I start crying on that was like when they went to the bench that they'd got for her mum took the documentary crew to this bench that they have in memory of Caroline Flack, and I was just like, oh my god, this is so sad.
I think it was really well done with how they flitted between obviously like her life story and then like what happened, because I think that just gave it the vibe of like celebrating her life as opposed to just being some kind of like expose of what happened.
Yeah, and I think that was definitely the impression you got. Like, everyone was like really happy remembering like experiences they had with her and like happy times they had with her, which was really nice. Like, Ollie Mers was really lovely on it as well.
Yeah, and like, it's nice to see something that was just like calling out the media, like, yeah, done so well, because that's kind of what we need. Like, it's really easy for everyone to kind of sit there and be like, oh, the media is bad. But like, it's nice to actually have something that's fully formatted, making like a good and obviously like a clear argument. And yeah, I just think it was really, really well done. So
it was really nice to have the balance, I think, in it as well, between like people that knew her personally, be it family members or like close friends, but also people who were like experts in the industry, who are like, have been at the top of their game within the industry, also being like, no, this was wrong. So you had the balance between the two sides of it, but ultimately we're in agreement that like the media had screwed her over.
Yeah. And I think as well, like, obviously it offers like something for people who want to hear like about Caroline Flack's story and like about, like, say, how the media was involved in that. But I think obviously it also offers something to people who have experienced that kind of grief before, of losing someone to something like that. So yeah, I just think it was a really nice, and I hopefully like, hopefully it has like helped a lot of people. It definitely like opened my eyes a bit to maybe certain things I hadn't given too much of a thought about before. So I think it was really impactful as a documentary.
I didn't realize how much she'd achieved in her life. Like, I remember her from TFI Fridays and CBC, and I remember from Love Island, and I remember doing X Factor for a bit, but I didn't really realize like all of it in between.
Yeah.
Loads.
Yeah, so all the, like, the children's stuff she'd done and stuff, like, and it showed her them, like, Dick and Dom and that. And I used to watch that, but I used to watch that when I was so young that I can't really remember. And literally, when I saw her there, I was like, oh, that was her? Like, literally, yeah. No recollection. Like, I just remember, like, yeah, like, Love Island, a bit on X Factor. So, like you say, it was really good to see, like, everything she'd done and stuff. And again, like, that kind of made a comment in itself, like the fact that the people who like provided all the hate and obviously the media and stuff, like most of us didn't even know like everything she'd done in her life. The people being like, oh, Love Island, such a terrible TV show, so I'm going to tell her that her whole life is like terrible. And it's just like, you don't know anything.
Yeah, no, completely. They definitely weren't celebrating the wins. They were just being like, why is she dating Harry Styles? That's ridiculous. And just all this stuff that was just insane. What did you think of the like sit down interview kind of format for the documentary?
I think it worked well for this one, just because like obviously who they were talking to were the people, like you say, who are like close to her or like in the industry and stuff. And it felt like you were getting some like sincere opinions. I think it did make it, it was like handled well. It didn't seem like we were just getting some like, you know, I don't know, like a quick interview question, like, how'd you feel about it? No, it's like they got to sit down and tell their stories and how like their opinions and everything. So it just made you feel quite, I don't want to say like close, but it made you feel like you were getting like a genuine story from them.
Yeah. One thing I particularly enjoyed about the way they'd done the sit down style as well, which I'll describe for the listeners at home, is like it's kind of like very neutral spaces that they have, they're interviewing people in. It's almost like a mix between in like an industrial space, but maybe like a block of new flats that no one's moved into yet, and they've just put like a chair there or like a studio space for photography. So it kind of like, you weren't trying to focus on the background the whole time of like, you can be like, oh, what's that picture of or that or whatever. You kind of had to like listen to what the interviews were saying the whole time, which I think was really effective.
It was, because it's like the idea that, yeah, you can't just kind of distract yourself with something random. You have to listen to it no matter how hard it is. And obviously it's going to be like hard for a lot of people, because there's probably people who turn around and be like, oh, I just commented something bad on Facebook to someone the other day. You know, like it is kind of a call out to everyone who does stuff like that.
Yeah, no, completely. I don't know. I thought it was a really interesting style, and I liked the like dispersion of like when they were showing stuff that was going on in her life, they were kind of celebrating her work. So like they'd be like, someone would be talking about, oh, how this was when Love Island was on and how in fact it affected her life in this way. And they'd show clips of her like presenting Love Island and things. I think it was just like a nice way to like visually show you everything at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, like, obviously they told you like more details, well, at least more details than I knew, about how the media got a hold of the story of what happened with her and her boyfriend, which is the one that got put in the headlines and framed her as like an abuser and all this kind of stuff. And like, that was the bit for me.
The whole court case as well.
Yeah, and that was the bit for me that really called out like the media's being like, it was just such an invasion of privacy. Like they told you the timestamps of like when the event happened and then how quickly the media got a hold of it and spanned their story and stuff. Because I remember seeing that in the newspaper, and like, honestly, I think it was probably like in the Sun, and I didn't like give it like too much of a read or anything. But obviously you see the headlines and you just kind of go like, yeah, okay, why would they say that if it's completely not true? But then for them to turn around and like tell you the real story, and then you're like, oh, yeah, no, it was completely untrue. Like,
and also just kind of like, I think the Sun's Britain's most well-read paper or something. So like, if you don't know, if you're not watching Caroline Black on telly or like don't know her as a person, you would ultimately believe what they'd said, that she was a domestic abuser, which is just like such an negative narratives you're putting out without like fact checking it or like actually having anyone back up the fact it was true. And also I feel like that's kind of dodgy if it's a ongoing court case, like to have something out there like that, because like it makes it really hard to have like juries and all that kind of thing. It's just really messy.
Yeah, and then obviously it just comes down to like, why were they doing it? And the answer's just like, money, yay. Money from this great headline. It's like, I'm sure there was something else to write about. You did not need to do that.
No, definitely. Okay, so moving on. What was the next documentary that you watched out of the selection I gave you?
So the next one I watched was the Louis Theroux one, on America's Most Hated Family. So the return, it was his return one to the Westboro Baptist Church. And yeah, it was, it's incredible. Like, because it's just so out there, like how obviously hateful and like indoctrinated these people are. And I absolutely love the way that Louis Theroux just like stands there. And like they're like shouting things, like obviously they've got their signs up about how gay people are going to go to hell and all that. And you just get to watch Louis Theroux be like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing that?
Yeah, so the Westboro Baptist Church series that Louis Theroux has done is probably like, I think it's my favourite series he's done. If anyone listening doesn't know who Louis Theroux is, I would highly recommend watching one of his documentaries. He's a king when it comes to documentary making, honestly. He's been doing it his whole life. They're so accessible. He's really funny. It's a great time. So the Westboro Baptist Church is such an interesting group because they're all family pretty much as well.
Yeah. There's like, he said that they've always stayed around 70 members, but they're all just one family. And it's like, well, they've had a few, you know, new families joining that. But it was just, that kind of surprised me as well. Like, here is a community, and I'm thinking, like, who would come join this? And it's like, we just have children, and we make them indoctrinated too. And it's like, okay,
yeah. They're just such an interesting family because there's been quite a few people within the family that have left it as well, mm-hmm. and are like calling out different family members as well, and their Christmases must be so much drama, like,
yeah. You know, it was interesting, obviously, because this was the return one, so you could go and talk to a couple of the members who left. And obviously, it was really sad, like, the idea that once you leave, like, your whole family just never wants to speak to you again.
Yeah.
Oh, that it interested me as well. Like, there was a couple people in this documentary who had joined the church or were thinking of joining the church. And they were, like, they were saying to him, like, oh, yeah, I watched your other documentaries and it made me want to come and join. And it's absolutely insane, like, but as he commented, like, one of the things that they all had in common, the people who were joining, is that they were like vulnerable people, people who had been made to feel like they didn't fit in society or that they didn't have like good family situations and stuff like that. So obviously that just shines a light on how that's kind of how hate groups can grow and stuff, because they prey on the people who really don't fit in. And then obviously someone turns around and says, oh, this is where you fit in. You're going to have your life complete now. And they're just like, yeah, like, I'll take anything. Like, I'll go with it.
Yeah. No, I like the hateful messaging within the Westboro Baptist Church is really horrible. I can't remember if it's in this one or not, but it's the Pride House in this one.
Yeah, the one that's over the road from them.
Yeah. So basic, for anyone that's not seen it, this is like this... a gay activist has bought the house opposite the Westboro Baptist Church and has painted it to look like the Pride flag and has made it an LGBTQ+ museum. And it's just so annoying for them because they can't do anything about it because it's private property, so they have to look at it every day. It's just...
Yeah, I found that really funny. But, like, I also thought, like... Because I'm queer, and then I thought, like, oh, watching it is quite funny to laugh at. But, like, if I was actually there, it's not like it wouldn't be a comfortable space to be around. It just kind of seems scary, you know, like having all these people out there. And especially because they always travel as such a group. Yeah. Like, I feel like it's, I don't know, when you're not there, it's easy to be like, haha, like, that's funny. But, like, it'd be a scary group to be around. Like,
they're so aggressive in it. Like, I can't remember if it was this documentary or not, but they've picketed funerals before for gay military servicemen and have like been screaming that like they're ultimately a horrible person that's gonna go to hell because they're gay, which is wrong. But I think it got challenged to the Supreme Court at one point as to whether or not they could do it. And it was found that they could do that because of free speech.
It's just so insane. One of like the people who had joined this time, he was from the UK. And his whole thing was like, the UK is going to hell. Like, America's fine, but the UK is corrupt. And I was like, okay. Sure thing.
It's, yeah, the whole ethos of the whole thing is just really weird. I really admire Louis III for being able to like just be that and not be arguing with them, because he knows that ultimately, like, him not arguing with them and just like allowing them to say this stuff is ultimately going to make a better documentary, rather than him just trying to, and that you build trust a lot easier that way as well, I feel.
Yeah, and one of the people who had left the church, like, she was doing her speeches or whatever, it showed her doing her speeches to the universities and stuff, and she was saying, you know, like, the way to help people who are in this kind of situation is to be like kind and try and show them human compassion, because that's how she got the inspiration to leave, because she saw the rest of the world. If you are, yeah, if Louis Theroux just went and was really angry, it would just give them the fuel to spin the narrative that all the people who weren't in the church were sinful and hurtful and stuff.
Yeah.
There was that bit that he calls them out, because one of the guys in the church, he's talking about how they've said it's like funny, or they'll find joy in when loads of people are like blown up or in war or whatever, because it's like, this is God's will. And like, they, you know, he's like, yeah, you guys laugh and stuff. And they're like, yeah, we find joy in the fact that God's will is being, you know, done. But then they were like, oh, but we also feel sorrow because they're human. And he's like, how would you show that? Would you be smiling and crying? Would you be doing this? And then he's like, this is really contradictory. And they're just like, nope. It makes sense. It makes sense. I will be happy and I will be sad, because, yeah, it's just, they just can't see how contradictory the stuff is. And that's like quite interesting to watch people like that who, you know, you think like, how would you ever get through? Because they're saying what's logically you think would change someone's mind, but it doesn't. They literally just have their blinkers on and they're just like, nope, this is how to live. Like, this is cool.
It's just, the whole thing is like, just, I think the whole format of that documentary is so interesting. It just makes it really accessible. I think I watched the first one without knowing anything about the Westboro Baptist Church at all. And then like just the repeats of the series and stuff, you feel like you learn a lot about a community in like an hour, which I quite like. I'm an anthropology student. It's a useful thing to do.
Yeah, no, I thought it was, like you say, really accessible. Just the way, like, and I think that comes across as in the way that Louis just goes and like talks to them and lets them talk, that like makes it accessible, because obviously it's just like, it's almost like you're just listening into some conversations. He's not trying to like, I don't know, weave something complicated through it. He's just kind of showing you what's happening. I think on this documentary as well, like, he brought attention to the fact that they do have like quite a few young children, or they did in the community at that time. And like, that was quite hard to watch, because you, like, I know, I kind of went through my mind, like, there was one of the members, like, who's still in the church, and she had a child, or a couple of children, actually. And obviously you start to think, like, it's really sad, because like, the children are going to grow up like that. But then, like, you know, she was, it always showed her at least, being really loving to her children. And she obviously like loves her children and cares about them. So as I was almost thinking in my head, like, what would I want? Like, would I want the child to like come away from her mom just so the child could grow up like without all that hate? But then you're like, I don't have the right to take a child from her mother if the mother's, you know, caring or loving to the child, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem with it, I think. It's like, you can't decide what beliefs a family should hold. And that's kind of like, it's basically a cult, but they can't like take the kids away from it or anything, which is really weird.
Yeah, they showed the baby's room, and it had like all the pictures of like volcanoes and like world crisis and stuff, with all the really like foreboding Bible verses. And Louis III made me laugh, because he was like, oh, you know, have you just like not got around to decorating? Like, is this like, and she was like, no, I think this is really important for the children to have. And he just looks so bemused. And I was like, that's how I feel right now. Very strange.
Yeah. He's honestly, I think he's like one of the people that, like, you know, when you have those lists of like, who would you want to ever have at a dinner party? I would put Louis Theroux up there as one
definitely.
Of
my. No, I definitely want to watch more of his, because he's just, he's really captivating to watch. Like, you want to keep watching him.
Yeah, there are some really good ones he's done out there as well. What other documentaries have I been watching recently? I've watched Drive to Survive recently. That's really good. It's all about Formula One.
Okay.
Follows like every season of Formula One, but like it kind of takes the racing out of it, and it's just kind of like the political side of it and everything, which is really good.
Okay.
What else have I watched? I think I've watched some more like Stacey Dooley ones recently as well, which have been good.
You know, I definitely want to start watching more now, especially like I've finished with my studies. So I feel like it's nice to have a bit of intellectual stimulation. But like when you're obviously studying, I think that's the only thing. Like, I love both of these documentaries, but they both kind of have an emotional like toll if they're obviously, if they're about sensitive subjects. So I think it's obvious why people sometimes just want to slip into watching like, you know, trashy things on Netflix. But I'd like to start watching more. Just because it's nice as well to kind of come away from something feeling like you've got more knowledge, that you're maybe a bit wiser about something that's going on in the world.
Yeah, completely. I would highly recommend Dogs as well. That's a very wholesome one. It's just following different dogs in different parts of the world.
That one is still on my to watch list. The next one, it looks so cute.
No, I don't know. I just really like the different formats and stuff. Like, I think there's no right way to do a documentary. There is a wrong way to do a documentary. That's Seaspiracy. For one thing, it could have been called Conspiracy. That's way more creative title.
Yeah, I haven't watched it because I've read some of the backlash about it being, like you say, not the most factual maybe, or just maybe a bit like out there. But the thing for me was like a lot of the people watching were going on about how it just made them really, really depressed. So I was like, I think maybe I'll save that for when.
I think the problem with it I found was it didn't really have a focus. It started out where they were like, oh, let's find out about like why dolphins are being killed. And then it was like, oh, but there's plastic in the ocean. Oh, but maybe whale hunting is a good thing in these communities. Just like, it just kind of went on and on and on. And this guy was trying to like cover the whole of like what was wrong with the oceans in like an hour. And at the same time, he was trying to use every film technique he'd ever seen in his life. So it was like very overwhelming at the end. So he was like, yeah, let's do some flat layer photography and then let's put it all into like night vision. And like, I was just like, what's happening?
That just makes me think of like, when you watch it, like I've watched a couple of movies and then it just feels like a film student has got like their first project and they're like, look what I can do, mom, look at all this stuff.
That was exactly terrible. What it felt like.
And that's just such a shame because I don't know about you, but like if I watch something like that and then say they put out another episode of stuff, you'd obviously be a bit like, do I really want to watch another hour of that? But like something like the ones that we were just going on about, like the Louis Theroux on, like if he put out another one, like if he revisited the Westboro Baptist Church again, like, yeah, I'd watch it again. So if you handle a documentary well, you can get a viewing that will come back for other installments. But if you try and chuck it all together, yeah, people are just going to feel a bit like you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I definitely think less is more when it comes to this kind of thing, for sure.
I think it's because like, I think maybe, say if you're like say you're researching a documentary to do, and like, so you've only got the basic knowledge, it's easy to think that like, oh yeah, I can fit everything into an hour. It's not that deep. But then obviously things, once you start to do the research, you can see that a lot of things could fill an hour. Like there's a lot more to it once you actually start to look for the deep sources and stuff. So I think it's about kind of, I don't know, by the way you're describing it, it almost sounds like he had the idea, or whoever created it had the idea. And then they were like, they started to do the research, saw there was a lot more to it and thought, nope, I'm just going to carry on. I really want this in an hour or whatever. But you have to kind of go, no, okay, I'm going to change my original idea.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And who knows, maybe we'll be making more documentaries at EETV over the next year as well.
I think definitely. I really like to see the one we did this year on mental health. And I think it'd be really interesting to revisit that either, you know, a year, 2 years down the road, down the line, there you go. Forget that people are going to listen to this. And I'm like, no, it doesn't matter that I'm making no sense. Anyway, it'd be good to revisit a year or two down the line, because as well, doing revisits, it holds people like accountable, because once you've done the documentary, if you never go back, the people who watch it are just going to be like, oh yeah, I hope that changed, or like, I hope this happened. It'll be nice to turn around and see like, oh, have things actually changed? And that's something that it'll be interesting if like Lutheroo goes back again and you can see like, have more people left? Has people become less hateful? Like, you want to know this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. No, well, I feel like I've inspired you to make more documentaries at EUTV, and that very much excites me.
Yeah, you know, you definitely have, because I just think like watching some of the really good ones, maybe not Seaspiracy, like it shows how enjoyable they can be, as well as, you know, hard hitting. So I think obviously there's more of a, I don't want to say market, because it's student television. It's not exactly, it's not profitable, but you know what I mean? Like, there's a bigger audience. That's the word. There you go. I think we can get a good audience going. So if we can make them good, I'll make everyone who wants to be on it watch like 3 Lutheroo documentaries. You're not allowed to work on ours until you watch Lutheroo.
Absolutely.
So thank everyone for listening. And, you know, I would definitely recommend, if you don't already, to start watching some of the documentaries. And there's so many on BBC iPlayer, like for free. Like, if you just look, like, because when I was watching these ones, it brings up about 20 suggested. So I think you can definitely find something that you're interested in to give a watch.
Absolutely. Hope you've enjoyed. Bye.
Bye.